So I got a question for you.
What is it?
Which is better?
Yeah.
Knowing that you don't know.
Butter's good.
No, what's butter? Which is better?
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Which is better?
Which is better? Not knowing that you don't know.
Uh-huh.
Or knowing for a fact that you don't know.
You do not know how many times I have sat awake at night thinking that very question. I still think butter's better.
You've tuned in to Two Blind Squirrels today. So sit right back and see what Brad and Chaz will say. This show's a lot better than a lot of things today. And here's just to name a few. It's better than allergies. It's better than knobby knees. It's better than -5 degrees. It's better than a 5-week heat wave.
Two blind squirrels in the morning. Two blind squirrels at night. You can listen anytime at all. Radio on demand, it's alright.
On today's show, we're going to talk about Halloween, even though that was a couple of weeks ago. We're still going to talk about it. Why? Because we want to, and we have topics to talk about it, and just because we weren't here last week doesn't mean we can talk about things. We want to talk about things. We got to talk about things.
Two blind squirrels in the morning. Two blind squirrels at night. You can listen anytime at all. Radio on demand, it's all right.
Welcome to Friday. Happy Friday, everyone.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
It's Friday.
It's Friday.
You like my sexy voice?
Is that your sexy voice? Is that your...
This is my sexy voice.
Is that your 99 cents the first minute? And...
No, this is... I really, really want to get my cell phone coverage changed.
Yeah?
So, you think you could do that for me? This is my getting things done on the phone voice.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. It works, too.
Does it?
Oh, yeah. People will do anything for me as long as I talk in this voice.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. The chicks dig the voice.
The chicks dig the voice.
Uh-huh.
You talk to chickens?
Yeah, sometimes on the phone I'll talk to chickens. Sometimes, you know, I'll talk to operators.
I think it just creeps them out.
Maybe. I don't... Because my motives are pure, I don't care.
The net result is the same.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Well, welcome to Friday. Okay, I'm starting to creep myself out.
Yeah. Thank you.
Welcome to Friday. We put out one show this week. Count them. One.
Yeah. Well,
let's count them. One.
This show was brought to you by the number one. Well, you know, you had a little bit of a you got a little bit of a what do you call that hall pass?
A hall pass?
Yeah, a hall pass.
That's what you call it?
I don't know.
I get an uncle dies and you call it a hall pass?
Well, you know, I can't. I can't.
Okay.
I'm shy on words tonight. I can't think of what I'm trying to say.
Bereavement leave?
Yeah, maybe a family bereavement leave sort of. I say stay of execution. That's not
nice.
What? I wasn't. No, I'm just saying. I'm just running through a list of words.
Okay.
No.
Well, just so everybody knows, I really appreciate the prayers. I really appreciate all the nice things that everybody said about me and the sympathy for my loss. But just so you know, and I try to tell everybody this, I was never really that upset. I mean, I loved him. I knew him. I liked him. Mm-hmm. You know, but I wasn't that upset that he passed because,
dude, my dog died. I was depressed for a week.
I know, but I know, but I knew this guy was a Christian. I know he's in heaven. I know he's in a better place.
Yeah,
and I felt bad for his wife and his daughter.
Yeah.
Okay, and his son. I felt bad for them, but it didn't affect me personally. I just had to deal with them. So I appreciate the prayers of strength and the prayer, you know, and the prayers that I was able to minister to them with.
Now, isn't that interesting? The difference in perspectives. Mm-hmm. If this is it,
yeah.
If this is all there is, then when somebody dies, that's terrible.
It's horrible.
They died. They don't exist anymore. They're just, oh, man. Yeah.
I don't understand how Christians do it. I don't understand how non-Christians do it, deal with death at all.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
Right.
I don't get how you can get that through your head. That would drive me crazy. I'd kill myself. No, I wouldn't do that. I don't know what I would do. I mean, how do you deal with death if you don't believe in an afterlife?
Because you just don't exist anymore. You just don't have anything. There's nothing.
There's a lot of the things that amaze me about atheists, and that's just one of them.
But that makes the event or the foreshadowing or the coming of death mm-hmm. very heavy. It makes it very heavy, and it's not just for the people who are left behind, but for the person who is waiting to die. You know, eventually knowing that they're going to die. But for the Christian yeah. says, "This isn't it. This is not even my home. This is not."
Yeah. I get to go home now.
I'm just passing through, man.
See y'all there.
Yeah, and there's this whole other, you know, passing over into the side, and then that eternal existence and that sort of thing.
That's so why I don't like the word. You know, we started off this show talking about completely something different. We'll have to put that off because now we're going here.
Okay.
I don't like the word funeral. I don't want a funeral. I want a memorial service.
Yeah, okay. Memorial okay. To remember.
Right.
To be.
I don't need to be put to rest. I ain't resting. I'm partying my butt off up there in heaven. Okay? You lay my body in the earth, and you can remember me for what I meant to you here.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. But I don't need a funeral service. Just give me a memorial service.
Right.
Huh. You know, and here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. I don't want anybody speaking at my funeral that their first words out of their mouth are, "I didn't have the privilege of knowing, Brad, but..."
What?
"I didn't have the privilege of knowing, Brad, but..."
Why would somebody even stand up if they didn't know you?
That is what happened.
Really?
Yes. At my uncle's funeral, the guy who stood up, I don't know if he was a Pat. I don't know who he was. I've never seen him before in my life. Wow. And I didn't get a chance to ask Peggy, but that's my aunt, by the way. I didn't get a chance to ask her or anything, but I was like, the first words out of his mouth were, "I didn't have the privilege of knowing Freddie." Well, then sit down. I did. I knew him. I'll talk. You know, that's all we need to hear out of you. And when it gets time to read the Bible, I'll call you back up here.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I guess that's what she wanted. She just, but you know, and he just basically he said what other people basically did. He just said a bunch of rumors.
It's hearsay.
Yeah. He's like, "But I have heard that he was a very generous man and that he enjoyed the outdoors and blah, 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 blah." I'm like, okay, you just, what is that?
That's.
I mean, I can stand up there and tell you stories about him.
Yeah.
I can stand up there and tell you what he meant to me. I stand up there and give, you know, give some kind of testimony to his life.
Right.
And it bothered me.
Well, yeah, it should because
I don't know if those things would be comforting, and maybe that's what the wife was wanting. It was more in comfort than...
But how is it comforting to have somebody stand up there that doesn't know you?
Well, he did have after he got past that part, he just went to the Bible, and he read some scripture, and he walked through the scripture, that part was very comforting. He did a very good job of that. I don't want to throw him completely under the bus, okay? He did a very good job with that part. But the beginning, I don't want that. That's not what I want.
So it was a little bit more of a service. It was really a service.
Yeah, it was more like a Sunday service with the casket next to it.
The flower arrangement was, you know,
extra
flower arrangement.
Yeah, I don't want to be too funny about this in case.
Well, sure.
You know, I mean, that would be too inappropriate. But I don't know why.
But I know that when my grandfather died.
Yes.
Since we'll shift it slightly.
I'm glad you know he's dead.
Yeah. when he died, he had songs that he wanted played.
Uh huh.
You know, they played, I think they played like three songs. Okay. And they were songs that he liked a lot and he wanted played, and people that knew him stood up and said things about him.
That would be great.
Yes, and it made it something where it really was talking about laying into rest. I mean, it was laying his body to rest and coming to terms with the fact that he's not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Remembering him briefly for a little while, and then going on and saying, okay, now we're gonna bury him. We're gonna mm-hmm. bury his body. And but yeah, it would have been weird just to have somebody.
Did you speak? Were you too young?
No, I was like 9 or something.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So that didn't work out real well. But but it makes sense that somebody you know should speak.
Hmm. Yes, and that you know, I'm going to leave specific instructions. You know, nobody that didn't know me gets to talk. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to be comforting to my wife and children, then you can do that. I mean, you know, somebody could do that outside the service.
Uh-huh. So who was the who were the pallbearers?
I was a pallbearer.
You?
I got roped into being a pallbearer.
You don't? I don't think you. You don't.
But it wasn't Paul. It was Fred. So Fred, it was really Fred Bearing.
Fred Bear.
Mm-hmm.
Who's Paul and why?
I don't know why he gets stuck with this.
Why is he bearing?
I don't know. I never understood where that term comes from. So John Wilkerson will probably tell us.
If you're a flasher that's named Paul, is that Paul Bearing?
No.
Okay, sorry.
You know what I hate about Paul Bearing?
What?
Well, they don't do this at every funeral, but I've been to a couple where they do, and then they take you, and as soon as you're the pallbearer, yes, come with me, please, and they take you away from the family.
Huh.
They take you completely out of the funeral altogether, pretty much, and put you to the side and give you a boutonniere, and then you wait there, and then after everybody else is seated, you don't get to talk to anybody except the other pallbearers.
Yeah.
And then they walk you down front and they sit you in a special pew. Away from your family, away from the family that's grieving, away from everybody.
Huh.
And then they take you out separately. And then you're waiting out there while the family's walking by. You get to walk by the casket and go out right. separately. And then the family walks by and you're not there to hold anybody up or or whisper in anybody's ear or do anything.
Yeah.
And then you're out there. And you're like, well, I really need to be in there, you know, helping with my aunt and my grandmother and all this kind of stuff. So then they wheel him out and this is what the sham is. They wheel him out right up next to it's all on this big gurney thing, right?
Right, yeah.
Right to the hearts. All you're really doing is just pushing it in the hearts, right?
Yeah.
So we do that. And we're like, well, this is a lot of hoo hoo for this, you know?
Oh, sure.
And then they wanted us to ride separate, but I just went and got my car. It's like, no, I had to see it at the graveside. So
they wanted They wanted you riding the hearse?
No, they had like a it wasn't a limo, but it was like a you know, a long car there.
Paul Bearer's.
Paul Bearer's car. Yeah.
Huh, you know, interesting.
Lincoln. And it had a you know, bench seat in the front, bench seat in the back. Put six people there. So anyway, I just rode with my family and we went down to the gravesite. Now here comes the hard part. Now you gotta take this thing out, right? And carry it to the gravesite.
Wow.
Six of you. Which, for you know, for like an 80-year-old man, which is what I did Paul Bearing before, right? Mm-hmm. No big deal. He weighed like 50 pounds when he died.
Sure,
you know. But this was Freddie. Freddie was 6'8".
Wow.
6'6", something like that. He was huge.
Wow.
6'6", I think is what he was. 6'6".
How much did he weigh?
A lot. All of it. Whatever.
He weighed all of it.
He wouldn't fit in the MRI machine. Okay.
Wow.
So. I mean, he wasn't. He was tall. He carried his weight well.
Yeah,
but he was big. I mean, he was heavy. I have no idea what he weighed, but
so now you have to carry him.
One of my arms is now longer than the other. and that's one of those trips, you know. So you get this thing out, and you're like, okay, you're realizing that this is pretty heavy, and you've only had it for a few seconds.
Yeah,
and now you've got to carry it way up there. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, now you're judging. Okay.
You're committed.
I'm committed to this.
Yeah.
And I've got to go, oh my goodness, let's see, I've got to go, you know, 200 yards, or not 200 yards, it was more like 50 yards.
Yeah.
I got to go 50 yards here, you know, and you got to make these turns, and there's not a lot of space.
You're walking
on the other pallbearer's feet, and you're kind of scooting along. And
can't you just set it down?
No. See, that's the thing. Your arm... There's no acceptable circumstances where you get to say, can we set this down for a minute so I can get a better grip? You know?
Right.
No, you can't. You got to walk. And unless you're – the only way you can let this thing drop is if your arm actually just rips out of your socket. And you stand there like some reject from Monty Python with blood spurting out, okay?
Right.
That is the only way. Your arm must stay attached.
Permanent nerve damage is acceptable.
Oh, sure. Permanent nerve damage. That's nothing compared to what's going to happen to you if you let this thing fall or slip, you know.
Yeah.
And you got five other men that are going to beat the crap out of you if you just, like, stop carrying it, you know, because it's heavy. Sure,
yeah. They're carrying it, too.
That's their, yeah.
Yeah, it's a group effort.
That's right. You're all going down together. So you get over there to that thing, and then you become acutely aware. Once you get up there, you become acutely aware that there's a very deep hole.
Right.
That you're dancing around here with navigate. This 300-pound man. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a very dangerous situation, yeah. And you get on slick shoes. You didn't come prepared. You know, you're not wearing your wug boots and your gloves.
They didn't give you Paul Bear galoshes or anything.
No, with spiky feet on them or something. No.
Wow.
You know, it's little things like that that you don't encounter in your normal day life.
No.
That you think, and then there's these two funeral people standing there. They're around.
Right? Professional funeral yeah, people.
Yeah, which are creepy, by the way. I don't care how nice they are; they're all creepy. So
when they're around it all the time, they're
like permanently quiet.
Sure.
You know, they're giving you instructions this whole time.
Right.
And they're like, because you don't do this on a normal basis. They know how it's supposed to be done. Sure. I understand this completely. Yeah. But can't they grab a handle while they're at it?
Yeah. No. It's not part of the package.
Be careful. This ground is very rough here. Yeah, I know it's rough. I'm walking on it. Grab a handle.
Just go for a hole.
Yeah. That would be helpful. Forget gopher holes. There are manholes out there.
Yeah. The whole man can fall in.
Yep.
Well, I'm glad that it
two
went
blinds.
I'm glad that it, okay, then.
Thanks, Max.
I'm glad that it went well, and I'm glad that that you made it through. I was concerned about you.
Well, thank you.
I was concerned that, you know, that I don't know how attached you were to the uncle or how closely you were, or if he taught you to fish or got you your first date or taught you how to drive or...
No, none of that stuff.
Yeah. Bungee jump or something?
No.
Okay.
No, but he did give me a lot of advice when I was having problems with the rest of my family. He was sort of there for me. And you know, he reached out to me when I came back to the family. He encouraged me to come back and kind of reconcile with my family. And he reached out to me when I did. And he was always there after that, and he was just always supportive. He was a very quiet man, but when he did say something, he was very supportive. So,
well, very cool, very cool. Well, yeah. Sounds like a good guy.
He was a good guy.
Well,
I'd also like to appreciate all the nice messages on the forum saying how bad they missed the squirrels this week.
Well, we are back on schedule, I believe, and we should be putting out regular shows next week.
Yep.
So
let's get this one over with so we can get on to our regular shows.
All right.
We hope that you've enjoyed your week of silence. This week, we were the mute squirrels, two mute squirrels.
Yeah. And we will be,
instead of two blind squirrels.
And we will be back with Token Toyota videos next week as well.
Yeah, we recorded some good ones the other day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and be sure to watch for, I don't know, we'll call them Easter eggs.
You're going to do that, are you?
I'm going to try to put little things in there for you to watch for, so be sure to tune into that, and you'll just be able to find those over at twoblindsquirrels.com.
Twoblindsquirrels.com. Vials Condius, everybody.
Two blind squirrels are gooder than pie.
This show was sponsored by the grace of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to have your life sponsored by the creator of the universe, then go to a Bible near you and turn to Romans 3:23, where it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But what does this mean? It means that before a holy and perfect God, we are all broken. If you know this to be true, then you must admit that you are a sinner. Sin separates us from God and prevents us from being in His presence. Now, once you've admitted you are a sinner, you must be willing to turn from sin. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." So how do we become right with God? We need a way to be forgiven for our sins, and that way is through the sacrifice and raising up of Jesus Christ. In Romans 5:8, it says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Through prayer, invite Jesus into your life to become your personal Savior. It says in Romans 10:10, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. It also says in Romans 10:13, for whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you know these things in your heart, then here's an example of what you might pray. Dear God, I am a sinner, and I need forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ shed his blood and died for my sin. I'm willing to turn from sin, and I ask Jesus to come into my heart and my life as my personal Savior. Open yourself up to the infinite grace of God, and it will change your life for eternity. This offer is non-refundable. Valid in all states. No further purchase is necessary.